Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Justice is Served, we talk O.J. Simpson's parole, Venus Fights Back, and R. Kelly's legal woes. All that and more.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Lives. Justice is Served.
Wow, welcome, Justice is Served fans. We are back. We have a full panel. Got a little R. Kelly in the background that does relate to a story that I'm sure you guys may have heard. But my name is Shaka Smith. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
And you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DominicP_ESQ.
Hi, I'm Yemi Abayemi, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Yemyem.
I'm Chelsea Glacia at Chelsea Glacia.
Yes, and again, we are a team of lawyers, and we're here to just discuss a little bit about what's going on in this week's news. Man, that R. Kelly song. Such good music, but maybe some legal trouble ahead. But... So I guess we'll start off with this Florida Docs versus Glocks law before we get into some of the celebrity legal news. Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting, where it's kind of doctors being not allowed to be to ask questions of patients regarding gun ownership. Mm-hmm. It sort of caused a row in Florida. What did you guys think about this? Maybe a little detail.
I was like, I cannot believe that the NRA successfully got this law passed. Yeah. I think in Florida, and I think 12 other states had similar laws. Mm-hmm. Because doctors want to talk to parents, especially of kids, to say if there's a gun in the house, are you storing it safely? Because gun safety is a thing. Children being killed by guns is a real health concern. And so it was astonishing to me that the state tried so hard to get this passed. And ultimately, when it was taken up and deemed unconstitutional because of the doctor's First Amendment rights, but I was just like, what's next? Are they going to allow the beef industry to like come in and say, doctors, you can't ask your patients how much meat they consume because that's just too personal and invasive and harassing? The logic of the legislators who came up with the law really just stunned me.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of worded pretty well in terms of not asking them unless you feel there was some immediate threat. But again, it was sort of a balancing test of Second Amendment and First Amendment.
How do you know there's an immediate threat or not?
If you don't, well, if you're not allowed to ask if there is a gun. Yeah. I thought that was like, well, can you give me some examples of exactly how I'm supposed to figure this out? Like,
and
confused.
You have to have like a good faith reason to ask.
Yeah.
How about you don't want the kid to be shot?
That's what I felt like. I felt like they were trying to say you can't ask about a gun unless you see a wound.
Yeah.
It's really what I felt like they were trying to get to.
Ridiculousness.
But they did uphold the part where the doctor cannot discriminate based on the fact of gun ownership.
I can't. What kind of discrimination was there in the first place?
Yeah. Can you show me some examples where this has actually happened and it's an actual issue?
What kind of discrimination?
I mean, maybe if you're a doctor and the patient's a friend of yours and you know they have guns and they're vindictive people, you say, look, I don't want to see your child. But I don't know.
Yeah, that was a strange
and
part
harassing?
Of that law.
And harassing?
Like, is that an issue?
Yeah.
To ask questions is harassing? It's interesting that oftentimes it's the conservatives who are really the pro-gun who call liberals very sensitive. Mm-hmm. But really, you can't let your doctor ask you questions about guns because it's too harassing? Who's the snowflake now?
Yeah, I thought that the anti-discrimination language was put in there for Democrats to come on board. Because it was sort of like a little, kind of like a ruse. Like, hey, we're kind of about non-discrimination. But it looks like Florida does have to pay.
Non-discrimination where it doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it looks like Florida now has to pay $1.1 million in legal fees to the attorneys that challenge this law.
I feel like the idiot legislators who pass this should have to carry some insurance when they pass stupid laws. I mean, this is when I wish that the Supreme Court gave advisory opinions because that would save taxpayers
a ton of money.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't.
It's just the rule.
Yeah,
remember law school?
It was a whole six pages about why they don't do advisory opinions, which I thought was like, well, isn't that kind of what we've selected them for life to do?
Because the courts in D.C. do that, and it's so effective because people at least now have an idea of which way to go and how to pass laws.
It gives a little bit more guidance and oversight, I feel like, in a time where I feel like it's really, really needed.
So much time and energy is wasted on a lot of these laws that get overturned, and you see
and
that it's going to be overturned
dollars.
A mile away.
Yeah, like you know it's going to go up for appeal, and it's just like, why are we wasting our resources? Because apparently money grows on trees.
In Florida, I guess it does.
And it's sad. It's my home state, so hopefully Florida
can
find a way.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Hopefully I'll find a way to recoup some of that money and put it back to the people. But
I know they need it more on the parts of Florida that are being flooded. Yeah. That's a bigger concern than whether doctors asking about guns.
Patients about guns. But we have more restrictions coming in different states, and we move on to abortion now. So in Texas, which has sort of been slowly...
It's a hot topic for a while.
Well, yeah, man. Obviously, with Trump's presidency, there's probably a little bit more vigor to kind of assault abortion laws. And it looks like in Texas, they're doing just that, and they're making it a little bit more restrictive. So I guess now, in your second trimester, there's a safe way to have abortions. This was all new to me. I don't know if you guys knew this, but... And they're trying to ban that safe way. What do you guys think about this?
Well, from my understanding, there are only a few states that even allow an abortion in the second trimester, and so Texas's point is that they aren't on board with the procedure itself, which I understood the argument there because there are several states that are very pro-abortion and they still don't approve the procedure. So on that point, I totally got where they were coming from, but a little bit more of the regulations and the requirements of what you now have to do to be able to get just the regular abortion, I'm going to call it, I thought was a little bit overbearing.
My biggest issue is that it doesn't have any exceptions.
Right.
And so if that's really the safest procedure and you already have somebody whose health is at risk or something and that's the safest procedure and there's no way that that person can undergo that procedure if that's in their best medical interest, then that feels ridiculous.
I've even seen some states who don't allow that particular procedure. They'll give you links to the other states that do, which I think is really interesting. Like, it's like, hey, I don't want to restrict you from doing this, but we can't do this here. So here are your other options.
But I feel like legislators have been very clear that they're not doing this for the health of, you know, the mother. They're very clear about wanting to kind of limit and restrict women's access to abortions and try to gut Roe v. Wade however they can without it actually necessarily having to be overturned first. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they make no secret that that's their
mission.
And the fact that there's no exceptions is not surprising.
And they tried to tack on some additional provisions, one of which was you cannot sell the fetal tissue for money or the embryonic tissue, but I think
sell it for money for research.
For research.
Because it's not, you can't sell body parts.
Right. That's what I was like, wait, is that a new thing?
Yeah, for research. But what was a little bit more worrisome was that it has to be disposed of by a crematory or funeral home, which I would imagine the expense
it's
is going
really
to have
expensive.
To fall onto
it's
the
like
person.
It's like a couple thousand for cremating and like $7,000 to $10,000 for a funeral.
So which now, so if you want this abortion, you have to go, and then you might not even want to have a funeral for,
that's
you're trying to maybe
lot.
Disassociate yourself, and whether or not there was no exception for religious beliefs or anything like that. So what did y'all think about that part of the law?
I think that part might be successfully challenged on the religious aspect because some people don't believe in maybe either of those methods.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be, if Hobby Lobby can win and not support a birth control, this one, you know, by the same logic would fall.
Yeah, I thought it was a little interesting. And then in 2017, we had 6 states that have moved to try to ban all abortions.
Mm-hmm.
We had 28 states that tried to ban all abortions under certain circumstances, mm-hmm. and 11 others that put in major, major restrictions. Texas, one of them, we'd actually talked about that, I think, was it last year?
So they're just really trying to get the cases to go back up through the courts so that one of these cases will get to the Supreme Court and they can finally challenge
it. There is an entire, like, a privatized association who is pretty much funding a lot of these cases in the background.
Yes.
Alrighty. So, well, I mean, it's just, I mean, this goes into a whole, you know, political and moral thing,
mm-hmm.
but all the facts about, they're not even trying to hide that they really don't care about the woman here. They care about the unborn child.
Well, but, their whole argument, and it sometimes pulls on my heartstrings, is that, well, someone has to fight for this unborn child if the mother isn't. And I was like, okay, well, I kind of get that argument. Like, somebody should have this unborn, you know, mastermind to cancers in their thought process, but I think that at the end of the day, you have to allow a woman any safe measures to do what she wants to do with her body. And I think that's what it really gets down to. It's like, I feel like they're trying to limit or take that right away
and
from
women. And I'm only talking about circumstances in which her life is at risk.
Yeah.
So,
well, because there's a whole argument about what does it mean for her life to be at risk? And I have to put air quotes on it because a lot of the research that I've read when it comes to this particular issue is if it's, what is the percentage of danger to the woman.
I mean, it's really hard
to
say.
And to me, I feel like that should be my risk to take.
10%,
like, if
30%,
it's 10,
40%,
20,
yeah.
like 10%, people die. Like, yeah. that's a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, if you have
if
a
you're
tumor,
not giving me a 1 in a billion chance, I'm not like
taking
knocked out.
Yeah. Right. You know, the tumors like grow exponentially fast during pregnancy.
It's the hormones. It's like they feed them.
Yeah.
And it's like that. I think that's crazy for that to be their argument about what is the risk.
And there
level.
Seems to be a lack of concern for that. And I think worse yet, with the Trump administration, there's a full court press on so many issues.
Yeah.
This one is not really at the forefront anymore.
It's a lot going on.
So it's just good to know, or at least be aware, that these are the kind of laws that are sort of being
I know, if this was, the last administration,
this
would be headline news.
Yeah, front and center. Yeah.
But it's buried underneath today what Trump said, no
transgender
trans people
ban.
In the military.
Then we got a health care repeal
but
on that.
I honestly think that's by design. I think that's the exact same reason why they're pushing it so hardcore, why you see in so many states, you see things moving around so rapidly, is because they know
people
that the
are
public
distracted.
Are, they're looking over here while I'm walking over here.
Yeah.
And it's sad that it's hard to kind of keep your eye on so many things that are going on in the world, and I've just decided I got to pick one thing and focus on it.
What's
and somebody
your one
else
thing?
Needs to
yeah,
focus
yeah,
on
what is
something
your one
else.
Thing? Yeah. What is your one thing?
One day at a time. I'm still weeding it
on
out.
On Monday, it's a women's right, and Tuesday.
You guys, it's a lot.
I know.
You almost do have
on.
To pick days, though, with the way things are going.
Pick but, your cause each day.
Yeah.
But, I guess we'll move into our celebrity news now. And we have a little update in the Venus Williams case. It's been interesting because I felt like she was being assaulted so much by the other side's lawyer. But finally, Venus fights back a little bit. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so she recently responded, or through her attorneys, responded to the wrongful death lawsuit that was filed against her, said things in it like, you know, one of them didn't say which person may not have been wearing their seatbelt mm-hmm. or would have been saved had it not been for the seatbelt, that the car that the other couple was in, there was something defective mm-hmm. with the car.
Yeah, wasn't maintained
or there was
some properly
kind of recall.
Or something like
and
that.
And this kind of feels all like the standard defenses mm-hmm. that somebody would raise in
Except
a car
the
accident
seatbelt.
Case.
The seatbelt one seems like they must have some sort of actual knowledge that someone was not wearing a seatbelt.
I mean, I guess the computer can answer whether or not somebody actually
well,
was.
Well, and from like crime scene analysis, which was really weird, I learned about this in high school, that you can tell by how a person is ejected from a car if they were or weren't wearing their seatbelt. Like, there are markings on the actual body and their positioning
of course,
and for
yeah,
how
I guess
they
you'd
fall
have like
out. Because they basically, there was a whole campaign in Washington when I was in high school around seatbelt save lives and how first responders usually aren't, they don't have to cut a live person out of a seatbelt, which is basically them trying to say, you really literally only have to cut the seatbelt. You die if you don't have a seatbelt.
Right.
Basically.
So those kind of didn't... those may or may not
well,
be valid.
Yeah, the Barson's attorney came forward and said, oh, actually, the onboard diagnostics,
was,
diagnostics show the seatbelts were both worn.
And the car was
and the
fine.
Car, and it was a 2016 car, so maybe it was fine. I don't
but
know.
But the defense that I saw that may actually have teeth is this third party.
Yeah.
It's the other car that made the left turn in front of her while she was going through the intersection. Because while she was going through the intersection, she had the right of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this other car that caused her to stop in the intersection would have violated that.
Right, right.
And so there would be some
but
liability
I thought
to that
the
person.
Video shows, like, the whole... like exactly who went first, and
it
I don't
like
know that
you...
that's at issue anymore. So I thought the statement was a little late.
Well, no, I think it's that issue that they contributed to the accident itself. So, like, it had never been said that the way it was kind of set up was that it was either Venus or the Barsons. And she's saying, no, this third party is far more responsible.
Right. Yeah. But I'm like, we now have video surveillance, which is what has kind of helped to even show that the original situation was not as what it seemed to be.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if we have video... Why?
Well, I think she had to allege it. She has to, present it at the defense.
It.
Yeah.
Wait, have you seen this video?
I've seen the video.
I've seen
very,
the video, but I was like, I'm
see.
Hoping that somebody else has a clearer picture than I was able to see on.
Yeah, the video was a little too tough
little
to see.
So can you see that the car made the left in front of her?
Yeah,
barely.
You can see it.
You can see a moving object.
Upper corner of the screen. It's
you
not,
don't see the hit, really? So you're not sure, like, you can't really see her.
You see the hit.
I could see the hit,
but you.
What video?
You see the pause, and then you see the accident, and it's like, oh, okay, like, clearly she was, I don't see I personally feel like this may be a situation where a little both of the parties have some blame.
Yeah.
And it's now just kind of figuring out, is it 50-50, yeah, or does one offset the other?
And an interesting allegation was, or defense she raised, was that the wife's injuries were not enough to collect. But the wife said she had a cracked sternum and broke her hand.
I mean, Florida might have some ridiculously high...
You have to lose a limb?
I mean, in the state of Florida, you can hit a pedestrian if they are not crossing during the green light. So I think Florida... I wouldn't be surprised.
They're very pro-vehicle.
Very vehicle-friendly.
Very vehicle-friendly. So I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, minor scratches.
Well, seems like we got more on that one, so I'm sure we'll have some more updates. Venus is fighting back.
Yeah. I'm at least glad that she's somewhat of fighting back, because I felt like she wasn't really...
Well, everything I'd read in that police report just seemed like she wasn't at fault at all. So just, you know...
That's why I was so confused. Yeah. I was like, why are you
no
talking?
No phone, no drugs, no alcohol.
Would just zip it. Like,
you have the right of way.
Well, I mean, she has to respond.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm like, I don't think that you should, like, publicly be discussing it.
She's
kind of said, like, she's... What did she say? That she was really apologetic about the loss of...
Yeah, she was forced on that one because they asked her after a tennis match. Yeah, and they're required to stay there. But
I would have said no comment.
Yeah, which is tough during Wimbledon.
Well, she broke down crying.
Yeah,
she had to excuse herself for a moment.
Yeah,
I missed that part.
Yeah, that was a tough one. She asked to leave,
but
it's a required. Yeah, it's a required media thing after a tennis match.
Which I think is really mean, but that's a whole other conversation.
Well, who doesn't want to see the tennis player after a match, and especially if they've lost? But anyway, that's another one. But we got some good news. O.J. Simpson gets paroled. Is that good news?
Well, here's the thing about O.J., you guys. When you look at the actual offenses for this particular crime, and I have to always say this particular crime because I think people get a little
OJ
misconstrued here.
Yeah.
I feel like for these particular crimes, I felt like it is somewhat good news because I think that it was an extensive sentence that he got for exactly what the crimes were.
Well,
and
it was
so
armed robbery
I feel
and kidnapping.
Like Well, I feel like when you
I feel like people overlook that. They're like, but he was just trying to get back his own stuff.
But I think when you have one of the victims apologize to you,
that is true.
I think that speaks volumes. So, like,
was
I
that
know
at
I
the
was
parole
wrong.
Hearing? I was in Washington. I was down in a cafeteria at the Capitol, and so I couldn't hear, but I just saw it, and I didn't understand what that apology thing was. I saw the, you know,
he
victim
felt bad for originally stealing the merchandise for how the entire situation went down.
Essentially, it was the way I had heard it.
I thought he was paid off, because it was I was like...
Well, I'd heard it was a setup. I heard they had set him up particularly to try to catch him for a crime.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, because he didn't bring the gun. The gun was brought by someone else. Yeah.
That's why I was like, given the circumstances, you guys, like, I really feel like he deserved parole.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, well, maybe I would be sensitive to all that. Here's where things go awry for me. And this was only like a headline that I saw on the silent TV that says, OJ says he has lived a relatively violent free life or a quiet life, or there was something like there was no violence. What I can't remember what the exact line was, but it was like, we all know the history of domestic violence, and so for him to say...
Alleged,
because it was on the ticker on TV.
Yeah.
So nobody heard this, where he said, you know, I've lived a...
No, I heard it. I was like, who coached
him
through this?
What
did
was the
say
line
that was
that
life
said?
Or was that... I thought he said that was in jail, that he'd lived, like everything violently free.
He said, I've lived a violent-free life. And I was like, well...
According to the courts, he has.
He could be talking about this last few years.
Right?
It is parole.
Well, I mean, life is your life.
But maybe he was talking about jail life.
Then say jail life.
But according to the courts, he has
lived. Well, in terms of the murders, but I think there are other police reports filed in terms of domestic abuse.
No, they were, but I'm just saying we don't know exactly what contents of life he was talking about.
Yeah, and there have been no convictions for anything
else. You really are going out on the limb for him.
I don't know.
But once a statement like that, and I was like, do you think we're dumb?
Well,
I just don't like it.
I think somebody wrote the statement for him, and he was trying to remember off the top of his head, and he was supposed to say jail life, and you can only remember so much of the given
speech
you've been
given. I would have kept him in jail for another year just for that flub.
Well, I think the parole board
is lying. Lying under oath.
Well, technically, because the domestic violence is still alleged.
There's been no conviction.
You can't technically say he lied.
In the eyes of the parole board, when they're looking at your criminal record.
No, they're allowed to look at non-litigated things.
Yeah, but in their eyes, no convictions for any other violence but this one. And then this one had special circumstances.
I'm pretty sure that there is public record of domestic violence.
Right, there's definitely police
record,
reports.
Yeah.
But and that's enough. You don't have to be convicted.
But there's a police report for a person who did not want to press charges. So you get into the whole, like, okay, what really happened?
Is it still doesn't mean he's lived a violent-free life.
People file false police reports all the time.
Wow!
No.
What I will say is that, unfortunately, I feel like I would like to have a meeting with all the women of the world because I feel, seriously, no
big meeting.
Bullcrap.
Huge.
There have been too many situations in the last few years where women have falsely accused men of rape or any type of sexual misconduct. And I feel like that gives those who have truly been hurt or violated a hard time to prove their case, because then you're constantly looking at them like, I don't know if I believe your story.
It's true.
And so for that, I'm saying we don't know. None of us were there. And at this point, because he hasn't actually been charged with a violent crime, we have to take him at his word.
Yeah, I don't think the parole board has to take him for his word.
They don't have to take him at his word, but at the very least, it's not as offensive, because there is no record of convictions.
Yeah.
So I
got
that part of it.
But the parole board doesn't need convictions. They're allowed to look at anything.
I think that statement helps him. Essentially, him making that statement...
I've lived
a relatively violent free life.
Oh, there was no relatively in there.
He said, I've lived a violent free life.
So I think he's allowed to make that statement, given the fact that the records don't necessarily bear it out, that he has lived a violent life. So
I mean,
because
if
I'm trying to sue the parole board to let me free.
Do you guys remember
football is a violent sport?
Do you guys remember exactly what happened with this particular robbery?
Like
people were beaten up, like really, really bad. Yeah. Like he wasn't actually the person who ever put his hands on anyone.
Yeah.
And that's what the basis of this particular case was.
Then that would have been for assault, but it was kidnapping and robbery.
It went all with it. It was aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon and the assault of the victim.
Well, he didn't have the gun.
He didn't have the gun. He's not the person who put his hands on the victim.
Okay,
so what I'm saying is, for this particular case where violence was accused, he's saying, my victim just got up there and said, I didn't do it. He's telling you that. So for him to say, I've lived a pretty violent, free life, I feel like under these circumstances,
it's true.
And
he's probably talking about gun violence.
Right.
We're talking about hardcore.
Here's my thing with OJ.
Wow.
I feel like...
You guys
like
are taking way too many lessons from
it's
Trump.
Not,
well, no, I'm
it,
saying...
Whoa.
Well, you're,
I mean, it's just like really... It's like,
I find that to be extremely offensive.
Sorry, but it's like massaging, finessing.
It's not massaging. It's this. It's regardless of how any of us feel about OJ's past, it's OJ's past. If the courts haven't decided, or if Los Angeles Police Department has never decided to charge him for domestic violence in the past, I feel like we kind of have to give it up at this point.
And I'm
so sick and tired of everybody wanting to have the whole, like, did he do it?
That's fine. It doesn't have to be.
You can't continue.
It can't be used.
Like,
but it's like. But if you bring it up, if you affirmatively say, "I am a peaceful person," then we are allowed to bring up your past.
But if I say I'm a peaceful person, and the law, you can't show me factual evidence of the opposite.
But for a parole hearing, they get to look at anything,
you can look at anything, but you can't. The parole board isn't going to look at a possibility that was not substantiated type of evidence.
No, they certainly could. However, it is OJ's job to present himself in the best light. So he's supposed to say, I've lived a violent, free life. Like, if you guys have other evidence to look at that argues against that, fine. But I'm supposed to present myself in the best light. It's like doing your college application.
Without telling lies.
You ever did your college application? Did you seem better on paper than you really were? Yeah. Because you're putting your best face forward. Maybe it can be stuff to the contrary, but... For the large part, this is true. If you have anything else,
I have like this integrity lying thing. And if I hear something that's like a lie, my alarm bells go off, and I'm just like...
I have a feeling if you had been serving 9 years in prison with your pearl hair, you'd be like,
that's I think that's really hypocritical to say.
Let me out, I lived a violent free life.
I think that's just absolutely absurd.
Well, on that note, we will move to our R. Kelly news.
It gets worse. We are going downhill.
It doesn't get any better.
You guys do not want to hear my thoughts on this.
It does not get any better.
I'll wait to hear.
Well, so it looks like Jim DeRogatis, a journalist who kind of uncovered the first R. Kelly scandal, if you guys remember well.
This was like almost 10 years ago. Yeah, I can't believe 08, how long it's been.
Almost the same year that O.J. went to prison, R. Kelly was
acquitted. There was a lot happening that year.
Yeah, 08 was a busy year. There was a video. He had been urinating on a girl during the act of sex. Child pornography charges were brought, 14 counts. She refused to testify. He was acquitted. And now, fast forward to now, where there's some allegations that he's holding 6 women in Chicago and Atlanta in some rented homes, kind of against their will, but not against their will, because they are agreeing to be there and they're of age. And the parents, in particular of one, said she's being held against her will, but she said she's fine after a welfare check. What did you guys make of this new R. Kelly scandal?
I'm holding judgment.
I really want to hear the opinion of the one who says, you guys don't want to hear my opinion.
What do you got, Yemi?
No. I mean, I think it's unusual to me, only because you have these parents saying that my children are being held against their will, but you have people that, as you said, are of age and seem to be content being there. So I'm actually not really sure what the commotion is about this. Except I've read that, you know, there were certain individuals who might be of age now, but maybe at the time when they first came into this cult, as they use the word, which is a whole other issue.
Right.
That they might have been underage at that point, which of course raises issues. But in terms of having women that are of age living in a home where they have license to leave.
The allegation is they don't have license to leave. They have to ask for permission for where to go, when to go. Sometimes she denies.
Which are the allegations that none of the women have
corroborated at all.
Some of the women who said they were former members of the cult. I don't know what else to call it.
We'll just use air quotes.
Yeah.
Right?
That were former, you know, lovers of R. Kelly. They said they had the same issue, and that one was even, she violated some sort of provision, and they left her on the tour bus for 3 days, and she wasn't allowed to leave the tour bus until she had served her punishment. And I think under Georgia law, false imprisonment doesn't require a threat. It just requires a restriction of movement. So if I tell you you can't go somewhere, that's false imprisonment.
And I was also surprised when I reread the actual letter of the law on kidnapping.
Mm-hmm. Pretty strict, yeah.
Because it's like using, you know, force or threat or something like that to move somebody from point A to point B.
Yeah.
It could be in the same house to go from, like, the kitchen to the bedroom. That could be a kidnapping.
If you say, I'm going to slap you if you don't move, kidnapped.
Right. So I...
If there's any truth to any of the allegations, I think he'll certainly be up for
I one. Think, mm-hmm. well, he might do himself in, except then we have the same situation as the last time.
Yeah.
So apparently he likes to video record his sexual encounters and show them to male friends, allegedly. And so if any of those videos becomes public and then any of the women on there were minors at the time, he could be prosecuted for that, except what if that minor, who is maybe now of legal age, doesn't want to testify against him? Then we'd be back in 08, round two.
And, of course, in Georgia, the age of consent is 16. However, you can't film it if they're under 18.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if they're, like, 17.
Which I think is weird.
Yeah.
But even was like, who wrote that?
Wait, you want to let 16, 17-year-olds film themselves?
No. I just don't. And I don't understand why you would say 16 is the age of consent, but don't film them.
Because it's child pornography.
Right. To me, I'm like, if we consider it to be child pornography for you to film someone under 18, I don't think you should be having sex with this person who's under 18 either.
I think the greater concern is probably other states and having that be distributed, like, you know, across state lines.
I mean, I think it's sick to sleep with someone under 18 if you're 40 anyways, but, you know, to each his own.
And regardless of how old you are, if that person is unaware that you're recording them, that's a crime.
That's, totally separate.
Yeah.
So this is going to be really tough, because if these women, like, maybe went in on their own volition and then over time have sort of maybe emotionally been beat down and they're convinced that they can't live. Right, exactly. They can't live on their own and, you know, they're being taken care of there even though they have to ask for permission to do anything. And on some level, they have an emotional attachment to him. Then, yeah, that's, you know, classic Stockholm syndrome.
And that's what one of the parents alleged. However, you need to voluntarily get diagnosed with Stockholm syndrome. So that's not going to help if she's unwilling to even see a doctor for that diagnosis. So, but kidnapping does carry a mandatory minimum of 25 years in Georgia. So if it ever comes to light,
this could be like OJ round two, where you get off for one crime that most people think you did, and then later on you do something maybe lesser, but you get nailed for that second one.
Or to me, this also smacks a little bit of Cosby, where it's like maybe another 10 years there'll be more people to come out, and then it'll just be the floodgates will open up.
But it's still going to be dependent on actual evidence that he held them against their will. Yeah. I don't even know. Even if a woman later says, yeah, he never allowed me to leave, but there's no real evidence, whether it's text messages or emails or
video. The allegation he restricts their cell phone use, so there probably isn't, I would imagine.
So I feel like even in that instance, you know, it's not necessarily a slam dunk.
I mean, it's circumstantial, you know, if it, you know, a couple people say it, but that's still, you know, if the women have solid credibility, that could be enough.
Well, or maybe the music trapped in the closet might have been some indication of his mindset and where he was going.
Nicely played. Very well done. I'm impressed with that one.
We'll end it on
Way
that.
Way to slide that in.
That was great.
We'll end it on that
Wait,
note.
But I want to know, wait, what was the part that you thought we didn't want to hear about?
I'm actually really, really surprised that you guys are, we're all on the same page. Oh. Like, I think it's going to be extremely hard to prove, and I'm a little bit, I'm having a hard time believing these parents. I think a lot of times girls move away and parents want to kind of assume the worst. Like, I just, I'm having a hard time with this whole cult.
Oh, I don't think we're quite in agreement.
Situation. To me, what I personally what it looks like to me, it looks like a classic, like, Charlie Sheen situation. I think R. Kelly put the bulletin out there like, hey, I'm looking for 10 girls to come and live with me and all of your needs will be met and you may get a little bit of fame off of this, so who wants to come? And I'm pretty sure, because I've been at an R. Kelly concert pretty recently and seen grown women do things that I'm just like, are extremely disturbing.
And wait, if they do consent to those strictures, and
that's my thing. I'm like, if I lay out to you like what exactly my parameters for paying you or housing you for a certain amount of time, like, you are willingly coming into this situation. I personally feel like after given R. Kelly's past situation with the minor girl, which he swears up and down, like he thought she was 18 and she even corroborated that statement, like I lied and told him I was 18, I think he might be a little bit more careful the next go around. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a 50 Shades long ass contract where they knew they were going to get all this
crap done. And they had to ask for permission.
I'm like, is that so much different from an S&M situation?
Or is it just a sexual predator getting more sophisticated?
That's what I'm thinking. Either way, I'm like, I told you what was up from the jump, and you signed this document, and I hopefully had a witness.
But even if it was signed, I mean, they could repudiate it at some
point.
Right.
But all I'm saying is that I wouldn't be surprised if he was very upfront with this. Sorry. I wouldn't be surprised if he was very upfront with these women before they step foot into the thresholds of his home. I just wouldn't be surprised. This is all I'm saying. I just feel like maybe I'm tainted. Oh, not at all. I'm just tainted from what I see.
Doing crazy things at the concert.
No, I left. But to me, I feel like what I'm seeing as a witness is a lot of women doing things that I'm just like, why on earth would you do that, sweetheart?
Like
you are amazing. For what they consider to be some level of 15 minutes of fame.
Well, but or you're just like 18, 19, and like you're being preyed on like a 40-year-old who's refined these practices
maybe,
over time.
Maybe so, but I'm like, what I'm seeing now in society is women doing like, why on earth would you do that situations to get 15 minutes? And I think that's horrible that's where we are in our society. So do I think 18-year-olds like might have jumped on the R. Kelly train? Hell yeah, I think they would have. Willingly.
Well, hopefully, like, Instagram is not clouding your view of these potential victims.
I'm telling you, Instagram is totally skewing my judgment of these young women.
Oh, God. Well, I'm sure there'll be more to come on the R. Kelly saga. I guess that's it for today. We'll be back.
Usher, right? Did we speak about him?
Oh, we didn't. We have one more.
Okay. We got a little bit more time. Let's do it.
Awesome.
So we have a little Usher. And I know you'd want to speak on Usher a little bit as well. So Usher looks like he's got herpes simplex too. Though it looks like there was a secret.
Dominique does not approve.
It's just horrible. I want criminal action taken against this man. I want him to do jail time.
There was a little settlement, $1.1 million, I believe it was, for one of the victims. But now another victim came forward saying she had had sex with Usher. She sued for $10 million, but now she got her results back, says she's positive, so now she wants $20
Give it to her.
Discuss.
Wait, I don't understand.
I would have asked for $100
The part that I don't understand is how she has this, demands $10 million, and isn't confirmed to have it.
Yet. Because she's saying he asked, and he told her it
couldn't
have been from him.
And so now the emotional distress of finding out that, you know, which is valid. Now you're just, oh no, I might have herpes and...
So intentional infliction of emotional distress
is one of her
claims. Requires extreme and outrageous conduct.
Do we not agree?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the controversy will lie.
I think that this is very extreme.
Extreme and outrageous, yeah.
Okay, well,
And then she got the confirmation, last week Saturday, that she had it. So she's like, another $10 million need to be had. Which makes sense to me.
You know, I was a little afraid to, Google, STD settlement amounts on my computer just because I feel like people are watching me, and it's going to be like, why is she searching for this?
Who is Chelsea trying to sue?
Well, it's funny because I Googled on mine, STD criminal cases, because that's what I was more interested in. I personally feel like I'm normally not for the law making examples out of people. It normally makes me sick, but in this case I'm like, please make an example out of him. I want him to do time because I want this to be a reminder to people, this is serious. This is someone's health. This is going to affect when she has children. Mm-hmm. That's horrible. And I feel like if you maybe make an example out of him, people will think twice about not really disclosing their medical histories to people when getting ready to engage in sex.
It's not a federal law. It's state by state.
It's state by state.
So California has the law that you either don't have sex if you have it, or you have to tell them before.
Yes.
But this was not in California?
No.
I'm not sure where this took place.
Yeah, I'm not sure where this...
It wasn't in California.
I always spent a lot of time in Atlanta, so I don't know if it was.
That's what I'm leaning towards, it being in Atlanta, which I wouldn't be surprised if they have
books. I wish I had some sense of how much these cases normally settle for, and you probably can't even Google it because these settle behind closed doors and there's...
And that's what, in my search, because when I was looking for charges that have been brought, and it's normally for people who have, a very large number of women that they've infected.
And that is the next thing, because I'm assuming Usher...
I personally feel like there's a class action. I wouldn't be surprised.
I believe there's going to be sort of that drip, 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 no pun intended, but of people continuing to come out and say, hey, he affected me, or didn't tell me, or disclose.
I predict in the next 90 days, we will see upwards to 50 women coming out of the woodwork.
Wow. Bold claim.
Here's the thing. I read a case today about a guy who had infected over 15 women with AIDS, and he wasn't on Usher status. So my thought is, between that original victim, which happened in the 90s, people, to this person who is now alleging that this is a more recent situation, that's a good 15 years of...
So the
original person who had settled for $1 million, this happened in the 90s.
What? I thought he was infected in between 2009 and 2010.
Yeah, I thought it was more...
After he got a divorce from his wife.
It was before he got married.
No. My understanding is the infection was deemed... infected towards the end of the relationship with Tamika Foster.
Yeah.
Say that one more time.
Towards the end of the relationship with Tamika Foster. And that was my understanding when this all went down.
That's what I read.
Yeah.
My question is how do you prove who... So in this case where this woman upped the ante from $10 million to $20 million, how do you prove that he was the one that...
That she didn't have sex with someone else?
Yeah.
I mean, apparently there is a way to know that this is the first infection.
Yeah.
And so...
I think you can tell if it's the same, similar type of virus. I don't know what element can tell you got it from this particular person, but I think there's different categories of it.
That's something that I would like to know, if you can pinpoint.
Oh, who, FYI, in the last 24 hours, she's now up to 40.
40? Oh, yeah. Well, why not?
Giving you guys the hot update.
I mean, this is where it starts to feel ridiculous. Like, I feel bad for this woman, so and then now you want 40, and I'm a little like...
Okay, what if she has proof that it was him, and she can prove that in a court of law, what do you feel is the appropriate settlement amount to someone who has given you a lifelong disease?
Okay, so this makes it sound like, you know, get infected from a famous rich person because you can take that to the bank.
I feel like people will do it.
No, I don't think people's. Yeah. I don't think anyone's raising their hands to
Black
get
herpes. Black China had a whole baby.
No one's.
Oh, you do. I do.
I don't think people are trying to get herpes to try to. What?
Maybe not herpes.
No. Maybe not a lifelong
maybe a disease. Baby, but I think they would be very willing to expose themselves to other STDs.
Maybe, but I don't think people. That's what people are gunning for.
And even if they had a lifelong disease. You know, I think some would be comfortable because it's somewhat manageable. You know, I think people will do a lot for money. I think people will do a lot for money.
You and I are on the same page because I agree. I feel like people $40 million.
You don't think some
herpes, herpes is actually something that you can take a pill for, which although won't cure,
it's manageable.
I think I could point you out at least 10 right now that I know from the hood that would jump on. But I'm telling you right now, I don't know where y'all are from, but from around my way, I know some girls that would do it.
Well, perhaps I'm a little jaded, but maybe we'll have to have one of these girls on next week as a story.
If we can figure out the blackface in the control room, I can get them on.
As this story unfolds.
$40 million? Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, so think about it like this.
Listen, look at all of these police killings, you know, Eric Garner and all these people get $5 million if they're lucky for people that die.
Let's pause for a second. Usher, this is also against a police departmental rules that make them non-liable.
Yeah,
almost.
And also, there's also the weight of a police department having to actually have money to protect the city as well.
The damages of like your life is literally over.
Yeah.
Versus you get this horrible disease. I'm not trying to minimize that, but I'm just trying to. Think about what other don't know how much an STD is worth.
Does it help at all that he made $100 million last year alone?
Yeah, so and that's where we're going.
But cities this is been, not city, child support, no, and it doesn't
right,
vary
I
depending
agree with
on
you
income.
On that.
No, I'm just saying, but just that. I mean, you
She's
can't
saying
ask
no.
me
it doesn't. It doesn't matter.
I don't
that.
Have it to give
well,
you.
Well, no, I'm saying cities and municipalities have caps and limits. They have to protect the city. They have to keep water on and what have you. So you can't go after the city for everything it has. Usher's a private citizen. He's not going even after for everything he has. You're going after a little fraction of what he made last year. So. Yeah.
Now, here I will say this. I do think her upping it, and that could have been a false. I only seen that on one site. I don't know where they got their info from. Her upping it to, let's just say, 20, I feel like is somewhat reasonable. She now, if she has a baby, has to have a C-section.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Like, so. She could potentially pass herpes to her child. Like, to me, I feel like...
You're serious.
That's about 20
no,
million
No, I think
worth.
No one's, could, no one's, ar- right, no one's wow. arguing whether it has significant consequences, but whether having a C-section is worth $20 million.
People have C-sections way too often.
That's another question.
I think it's hard for us to put a value on the idea or the feeling of contracting herpes, being lied to, and now knowing you have to live with it for the rest of your life. But
yeah,
being lied to. Is she the one that saw the green liquid coming?
Oh, no,
I think that was the first one.
That was the first one.
In this case, if she was, I would take the $20 million a little bit more serious. If, for example, she was a Balmain model, and now with these flare-ups, she will lose jobs.
Right.
Now
then,
I would say, okay, this makes a little bit more sense. I don't know exactly what's going into the number that they're requesting. Yeah. Well, I'm doing is reading.
I mean, we don't know who this woman is. We don't know if she's of childbearing
years. Right. She could be 90.
But I think we're going to have...
She could be 90.
We'll have plenty of opportunity to discuss more on future shows. But thank you guys for joining us. Again, my name is Shaka Smith. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Shaka Strong.
And my name is Dominique Price. You can find me on social media platforms at DominiquePESQ.
My name is Yemi Abayomi. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AYEMYEMS.
And I'm Chelsea Galicia at Chelsea Galicia.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.